and welcome to 10 out of 10 Mood Watch again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
And because you guys were super cool about us having a week off last week, we've brought you not one, but two movies today. We are doing a double feature. I know, we spoil the crowd. So this week we're doing The Shining and Doctor Sleep, which is basically just the best double feature ever.
Basically, aye.
We're going to, pre-warning, we're going to talk about both movies, but we're also going to dabble in like the books and the miniseries. So we're going to try and keep it as concise as possible just about the movies, but you know, we're like, we love a tangent. So I'm promising nothing. Ross, do you want to, do you have your usual for both of them?
Of course I do. Right, sorry. Wikipedia is my friend.
Sorry, how dare I question your professionalism?
Don't look at me. Right, so first of all, we'll start with The Shining. That's the first one. So it came out in May 1980 for America, then in October 2nd for United Kingdom. I imagine that'd be the international release.
Aye.
Which is, obviously we'll go into detail about why we think it's, like there was such a big difference between the time between them.
Yep.
Directed by Stanley Kubrick. Big Kubrick done a lot of movies.
Big Kubrick done.
Aye, film bros love him.
We don't so much, but we'll get into that later on.
Aye, it's all right. So, Shining star Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Gatman Crothers, and a shout-out to Danny Lloyd.
Wee man.
A budget of $19 million, and according to Wikipedia, my very vast, deep research, and the box office was $47
million. Sorted. But it didn't start off that way, but we'll get into that later.
Get into that later, aye.
Get in for Dr. Sleep.
Oh, you want me to date the new? Pulling double duty already.
Listen, this whole thing is just going to be you and me bouncing about. They don't know where we're coming from. They don't know what points are hitting next.
Aye, so Dr. Sleep, released November 2019.
God, was that 2019?
Aye, it was. Yeah. Directed by Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
Mike Flanagan, obviously, Oculus. He done the Haunting Hill House.
Hush.
Netflix thing, Hush, aye.
Man's a hero. Man's a hero in this household.
Aye, so starring Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson. That's kind of your two.
The big ones?
Like the biggies in it. Budget of $50 million and a box office of 72.
Only 72?
Only 72 million quid.
I'd have thought that would... Never mind, whatever.
Aye.
People are wrong.
People are wrong.
So, general overview. Dad gets cabin fever and terrorises family. And then the surviving son deals with the trauma and helps a wee lass if you're going to pay that lady. Sound about right?
In the first one, no, but
I'm trying to mash the two of them together. I'm trying to do something here, Ross.
That's fine. On you go.
All right. So, why do you love these movies? Because I have a lot to say, so I'll let you go first.
I mean, The Shining's like one of the most iconic, biggest horrors, or whatever you want to call it,
100%.
Genre. It's a bit hard not to like it.
I know. I mean, as well, I feel like if anybody walked into our house, they would automatically be like, you guys, Shining fans? Like,
aye.
Every year, like, people buy us Shining-related things, like, accidentally, and we've barely bought any of them. We've got, like, bath mats, prints, I've got a scarf. You bought me a really cool pair of Shining trainers for my birthday a couple of years ago.
Yeah, sure did.
Like, we've got key rings, we've got all this, and it's like, I feel like we both love The Shining, and then we turned around and we were like, oh no, our house is like a museum to this movie. What about Doctor Sleep? What do you love about Doctor Sleep?
None. I've went blank.
Maybe shite.
Ah, shit.
Remember though, when, I know we obviously spoke about this in the It podcast, but It 2 and Doctor Sleep were round about the same time they came out, and we were like, oh my God, Doctor Sleep, no, how dare they touch The Shining, blah, blah, blah. And loved it. You and me walked out the cinema. Like, why did we think that was going to be terrible? It was so good.
I think the difference, like, between both, obviously, both Stephen King, like, adaptation is Mike Flanagan.
Is the man.
Aye, like, he...
Just hands
like,
down.
Aye, like, he really can, like, take Stephen King stuff and do well with it.
Yep.
I mean, with this, obviously, like, he's taking a lot of themes for The Shining up for the other, like, the shows and that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they are haunted, like, house.
Yep.
Like, shows and that, but it's more, you can see a lot of The Shining and that in it, so you tell he grew up.
And loving it.
I hope he did, I just copied that absolute belter.
Yeah, sorry Flanagan if we've just exposed you there.
I think, was it Haunting Hill House, you could, even when we watched this, this has got a lot of The Shining in it.
Yeah.
Whereas the It one's just, I don't know, like the second one especially, it just felt so weird, but we couldn't really, like, once we watched that chapter two, then we went and seen Dr. Seuss, it can't really be worse.
No.
But then it just blew our expectations.
Totally. I think this is, like, my dream double feature. Like, I am never not in the mood to watch The Shining. Yeah. I'm never not in the mood to watch Dr. Sleep. I will always prefer The Shining over Dr. Sleep just because it's, like, the first one you saw freaks you out, like, so good. Aye. But, like, Dr. Sleep, I think the more I've watched it, the more I'm like, yes. And then, again, like, we came out of Dr. Sleep, and this was, like, in the middle of my, like, Stephen King interest. Like, I went and got all the books on Audible and stuff, and I did The Shining book and The Shining... not The Shining. The Shining book and the Dr. Sleep book. And obviously, we'll kind of get into bits and bobs about different bits from the book and stuff like that, but... Like, I just loved it. Like, it was... I think Mike Flanagan has done this really beautiful thing with Dr. Sleep where, obviously, it is, like, renowned how much Stephen King hated the Kubrick version. And Flanagan has managed to marry the Kubrick thing that everyone loved and that's super iconic with the book and, like, take things from The Shining book and put it in Dr. Sleep so that King's happy as well as make the fans happy.
I mean, the thing, it didn't really have a choice. Like, I know Stephen King said he wasn't going to have what Kubrick done in his book, but then you can't change it from the movie too much.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to lose the movie goals.
Yeah.
And it's a bit hard to do it because they're the ones that are going to make the money for you.
Yeah.
It's not Stephen King that's going to do it.
Yeah.
So it must have been difficult to try and come up with, like, a happy medium for them.
I've got a story about that, but I'm saving it for useless information, but don't worry, I've got coming up with that. I also think as well, I mean, I don't know about you, but...
Do you know? No.
Shut up, you know what I mean? I don't know about you, but I was definitely shown The Shining far too young. Like,
oh, aye.
But I feel like you're supposed to, do you know what I mean? But I remember even being young and being like, what the fuck am I watching? This is terrifying. Aye. Dad, why have you done this to me? But, like, Jack Nicholson, I couldn't take my eyes off him, do you know what I mean? Even when he's sitting doing nothing, your eyes are just drawn to him. Like, I feel like The Shining is a lot of people's first exposure to the masterclass of a man that is Jack Nicholson, do you know what I mean? I can't imagine loads of people watching Easy Rider when they're younger.
And it's probably your first introduction to a Stephen King.
Totally, definitely.
Like, I got his 80s, but obviously people done that then at the TV thing and that came out. There was all, I don't know if there was stuff before it. I didn't look that deep.
When did Carrie come out? Carrie was the 70s, was it not? You're not a Carrie fan.
No,
but I like Carrie.
I mean, I think Shiner was probably his first.
Huge.
I mean, I'm saying that. I don't know what Carrie was like at the time when it came out.
I feel like Carrie was a bit of a success.
This would have put a lot of people onto Stephen King stuff and probably pushed for other Stephen King stuff to be made.
Totally. And especially because you've got Stephen King, renowned horror actor, writer, and Stanley Kubrick, who was like the bee's knees at the time.
Aye.
Personally, I can take or leave the guy, do you know what I mean?
He was a Mike Flanagan at the time.
I know. But, like, Kubrick, The Shining is, like, the only one that I like. Like, I'm going to say it, and this might bomb this podcast into the ground. 2001 Space Odyssey, overrated. I remember saying...
Aye, you like Clockwork Orange?
Clockwork Orange is good, actually. I take that back. Okay, Shining, Clockwork Orange. But, like... Whatever, I'm going to keep going before I go into too much into hating Stanley Kubrick. I do think as well, when Dr. Sleep was coming out, obviously because we loved The Shining so much, like, you and me were like, no way. And we didn't even know Dr. Sleep was a book. Like, we just saw this and we were like, are you fucking joking?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not going to read the book until we go and see it. And then afterwards, bombed through it. And, like, there's... some really, we'll go into the contrast between the books and the movies and stuff like that, but Mr. King needs an editor. Obviously, the movie started out for him, but sweet lord. Will we jump into thoughts and opinions?
Aye. So, the first one I thought is, do you think the Overlook Hotel is one of the best settings in a horror movie?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. There's so many, even like the outside of the Overlook, you instantly know what that's from. And there's so many bits inside it, like, never mind the carpets, which is obviously there everywhere, do you know what I mean? But even, like, the lifts, the hall, all this kind of stuff, like, I feel like you could show people stills of the sets and they'd be like 100% The Shining. Do you know what I mean?
I can't think of many other movies where the location, like that is, like that's the...
That's a character in the film.
That, like that's the, I know the bad guy, like...
Well, yeah, but, it is, you're totally right.
But it's not as simple as that, but it's like, that is the main villain, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's the hotel doing it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's like Jack Nicholson, Jack Torrance being doing the one through it, but you
but
can
the
actually,
hotel's
you get
the
feeling
him.
That the hotel is like is the one behind all this, mm-hmm. or is it? It's really weird to see, but like it's amazing how they managed to pull it off.
No, totally, I totally agree with you. And it's like even like the maze in the hotel and stuff like that, like you know that's like, do you know what I mean? I think as well, see, and when you're saying that, the music really helps it be the iconic villain, if you know what I mean. Because if you didn't have the music in it, this is just a hotel, this is just a maze, la la la. And then as soon as it gets in, you just hear the like, bom, bom, bom. And then like the heartbeats and stuff the way through, you're like, get the fuck out of the maze. Like, do you know what I mean?
I know, it's crazy how abound it, and it is really memorable.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Everybody, like most movies after, like when it's a haunted house, that they try and recreate that feeling.
And I feel like most movies and stuff set around like a building. Like the only other one I can think of straight off the top of my head, like obviously I've not really looked into it in the 30 seconds since you brought it up, but like Amityville House is probably the second in my mind of being like iconic houses. Or, like, iconic buildings in movies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of geared towards, this is haunted.
Right,
but the Overlook, it's not really a... Like, nobody says, oh, this place is haunted.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the hotel itself is just doing it.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
No, it's haunted, but not haunted in the way that other... I get what you mean. I get where you're going with this. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I don't really think it does anything, like, when it's open, when the guests are there.
No.
Like, in the movie anyway, they don't really... Obviously, they don't show anything like that, and I think that was part of the Stephen King's issue with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the only one I can think of out with. Like, obviously, you have Hill House and that, mm-hmm. like later, but TV shows, but it's heavily inspired. He's took stuff from that.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a book in itself.
No, totally. Again, that's an art book that I've, like, not got around to, because, like, again, this might seem a bit like, but, like, I just love the TV show and I don't want to read the book and it's like pure different, you know what I mean? So I think what you're saying as well about when the hotel's open, nothing is really happening. Like
they don't mention it in the movie anyway.
No. And even in the books, it's more, it doesn't really, like there's obviously bits and bobs of like something fucky's afoot here, do you know what I mean? But a lot of the stories in it is more about, like, the hotel's history rather than, like, the ghost.
Yeah.
Like, in the book, there's, like, links with the hotel manager and, like, the mob, and they think the mob are trying to do something else.
Yeah,
but then there's, like, going way back, and there's other stories of, like, cleaners, like, getting a bit ookie spooky in different bits and stuff. So, like, there's wee jabs and jabs in the book, but mostly it's just yous are locked in this hotel... For, like, how long is it? It's, like, 6 months, 8 months, something like that.
October to May.
Like, that's you. You are in fucking deal with it, you know what I mean?
I think that's probably how the hotel gets them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because that's not a job that most people would take.
No.
So you probably do need people that are desperate for work.
Yep.
Maybe lonely, like, mm-hmm. either go themselves or their family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be a job that... A professional would take on.
Well, you're not going to take 6 months off of your job.
It's got to be somebody down on the lock needing work, so it's kind of easier to...
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, the hotel, like...
It preys on these type of people.
Exactly. Like, the hotel is its own character, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not... Like, it is a setting, but it is its own character in the movie and in the books. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think as well, when you watch these two movies back-to-back, right... I do also think they work really well as, like, standalone. Now, obviously, The Shining was a standalone for a long time, right? But even Dr. Sleep, I feel like even if you came into Dr. Sleep and you hadn't seen The Shining, it references enough of The Shining that you can be like, oh, okay, this kid was, like, in a haunted house, like, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, all of the callbacks, you're going to have all the Shining fans being like, yes. But, like, I feel like if you hadn't seen it, you can still go into Dr. Sleep and be like, okay, all right. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah. I think only a couple of bits would probably go over your head, but then not really, because I do think as well, The Shining is also so referenced and so, like, deep seed into pop culture. Like, The Simpsons have done it. Like, all this kind of stuff.
Everybody's done it.
It's referenced everywhere. Here's Johnny is everywhere. Yeah. There's T-shirts, there's prints, like, all this kind of stuff. So you can't be unaware of The Shining. And even if you'd never seen the movie, you would still go into Doctor Sleep and be like, ah, the hotel with the blood, the lift with the blood. Oh, the crazy carpet. Oh, fucking Jack Nicholson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. One thing I've got as well, which I think we were kind of surprised at, is the two different versions.
Yes,
which
yes.
Which I was going into with different release dates.
Yep.
Is that the United States American version is half an hour longer than the international release.
Yep.
Which, I don't know how we have never seen that before.
I know.
But when there were certain bits of this, I was like, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, we were like, what kind of version are we watching? Like, we'd never seen
and
it.
And it changes the whole thing.
Totally.
Like, for half an hour extra, but it's a lot slower. But, like, there's kind of almost a sense that you're wait, like, you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we do know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's with Jack Nicholson, it's a lot slower. It's not just a... Not,
bing, bang, boom.
Not almost an instant.
Yep.
Like, the hotel's got him. And he almost plays it like... He seems like more of a loser in that version.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think... So, the reason they changed it was because, basically, Kubrick released it in the US and it got, like, shit reviews. Like, they were like, the pacing's awful. Like, it's far too long. Get that sorted. And the half an hour that he's taken off, it's, like, wee bits... But, like, I totally get what you mean, because when we were watching the American version, it did feel like, now, how many times have we seen The Shining?
Oh, God, I know.
And I even felt like we were like, do you know what I mean? Like, see, even the... So there's, like, different scenes that are in it. So the one where Danny and Wendy are watching cartoons, and he's like, I really want my fire truck. And she's like, shut the fuck up, your dad's sitting, do you know what I mean? And then he goes up. And that's obviously when it's, like, him sitting on the bed and it's like, you've never heard Mommy and Me, would you? Yeah. And it's like, oh. Like, but it's like, even all these wee build-ups of her even being like, leave her da, leave him alone. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's a bit when she's talking herself out of leaving as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Yeah, when she's, like, pacing back and forward.
Just grab him, they just go.
Yep. And, like, there's a more in-depth... Like, obviously the conversation with Halloran and Danny is enough in the normal version.
Yeah.
Well, not the version that we have seen the most. But... In this one, it's more kind of in-depth. There's more, instead of him just being like, oh, Doc, and they're like, we've never called him Doc around you, there's more of that kind of thing. A lot more in-depth about that and about The Shining and how they shine. The maze section's a lot longer. Like, I was sitting with you and I was like, I'm sure Danny's not running this long. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's interesting how, like, he decided to cut it, because he considers the international release like the definitive cut.
Yeah.
Normally with director's cuts, it's like, oh, you're adding another 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like, no.
Yeah.
Even like...
He went the opposite of Snyder.
Yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah, no more 4.5 hour movies, please. Like, even the bits... So, his interview with, like, Ullman is longer in the American cut, and, like, they do, like, a full tour of the hotel, and that's kind of where... The Indian burial ground stuff comes in, like they talk about all this kind of stuff. Because do you know that I don't remember that in the version that we've seen, it's obviously not in it, but I know loads of people had like said it, so I feel like I already knew it. So when you and me watched this, and I was like, oh, I've already seen that, and you were like, no, you haven't, we have never seen this version. I was like, no,
skeleton,
I definitely have.
Skeleton part.
I'm so glad that bit got cut. There's a bit, you guys haven't seen the American version, when Danny and Jack are running about, Jack's full on like, Danny! And Wendy runs in.
Danny boy!
And the Wendy runs in and there's just like cobwebs and dust and skeletons all over the shop, and she looks horrified, and she looks great. She's doing really well. Terrible. I'm so glad he got rid of that.
It really took
me out of it, man. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? I think as well, so we'll go into a bit of the Stephen King. I have Stephen King facts littered in every section, right? So if I don't cover it here, I'll cover it later on. But he obviously hated the Kubrick version. Like, the second the Kubrick version came out, King was like, nah, fuck that. Like,
I think that's why it bombed.
Yeah, because
all the fans of the books and that went...
King was like,
King's
fuck
coming
this,
out and saying no, don't
then
go
we're not
going
to watch it. Yeah. No, totally. But I think when so Stephen King obviously like hated the film, said, and I quote, "It bastardizes my material." Yeah. Calm your fucking self, King. He obviously went and produced the miniseries of The Shining, which you and me have watched.
Right.
It's yeah, not shite, and it is shite. I think
I don't think the story's bad, but it's not greatly done.
No, like the so in the book originally there is animal topiaries, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the bush, the animal bushes, like and they like move about and there's whole scenes where they're like chasing Danny down and stuff like that. And he put it in the miniseries and it looked awful. It was like cartoon bushes going about.
That's the thing. See, when he like he obviously fucking great horror writer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always translate well to movies.
No.
And when and film directors and that know this,
mm-hmm.
but he's like, no, this in his head it must look crazy, but it doesn't come well on screen.
Oh, he's like famous like for uh-huh. arguing with everybody. Like I've got some bits and useless information, but him and Flanagan went at it for a while.
Oh,
like,
it wouldn't surprise me.
He's very much like, this is my vision, this is the way it is on paper, and this is what you're getting. And in the nicest way possible, no one needs an edit like Mr. King. Like yeah. And I feel like I've seen enough King movies and I've read most of the big ones anyway of the books. And it's just like, there's some things it's like, King, this is not the flex that you think it is. Like, yeah. We didn't need this bit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think as well, The Shining movie is similar to the book where you can be like, oh, cool. But it's also different that I feel like I can take the book and the movie and appreciate them both separately.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the book goes more into like how much Jack's an arsehole and how kind of fucked up the hotel is and all of the things that Jack's done to get to where he is kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like in the book, there's a huge bit of that he was sacked from being a teacher because basically he batters a student and gives the student brain damage. And that's why he can't be a teacher anymore. And that's how he gets the Overlook job. Because
yeah,
one,
yeah.
he's alcoholic anonymous pals is like, by the way, I know this guy, he needs this, la la la.
Yeah.
And that's how he gets there. And there's like also more kind of bits about Danny and stuff like that, but they're separate enough that I can be like, okay, I like this bit in the book, but I'm going to go back to the movie
uh-huh,
because
yeah.
it does it. I don't want to piss off Mr. King himself. As if Stephen King's
listening to this. To this.
You never
Fuck
know.
Date.
See if I get an angry phone call tomorrow. I feel like the movie has all of the right bits in it and kind of it's edited it correctly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Now you need to cut them down. You can't add everything.
No, absolely not.
We'd be having orgies and fucking it if we
did.
Like...
don't. I know. It's like, if we're going to go into like the editing that Stephen King does, like obviously, just plainly in terms of PC-ness, some of the names he calls his characters,
yeah.
especially in Doctor Sleep, if you know, you know. Obviously, that had to be changed. Do you know what I mean? And as well, within Doctor Sleep, spoiler alert, guys, if you've not read the book, Abra's mum is Danny's sister from like one time where Jack got drunk and adulterous. And it's like, oh, really? Like, that's not, like,
yeah.
I didn't need that. Like, the book is already a sequel to The Shining. I don't need you. Like the whole point of it is that it's about Danny and how Danny survived The Shining and how Danny is basically going in his dad's footsteps. I don't need you to crowbar in that Abra's genuinely his niece. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? I don't need it.
So it's safe to say that we both agree that Kubrick is right to make the choices.
100%.
Like, to change things.
100%.
For it to be a coherent movie.
No, absolutely.
Just like a 4-hour... long thing about history.
Yeah. That's there's like hints in the Shining movie to things, but like in the book and stuff, but the movie's where it's at. Like, it's you go in, he goes mental, goes amok. There's enough if you want to go down the room 237, which we'll talk about later on that documentary. If you want to go down that route and be like, the Indian heads mean this and this means
yeah.
this and this is in this, crack on. But I do think Kubrick done it right. He's made it really, he's made it creepy enough that you can watch it and be like, no problem.
Yeah.
And it's also got its separation from the book where you can just go and read the book and you're not pure offended. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
apart from
enough.
Stephen King, obviously. So like, obviously with King hating everything that Kubrick did, I think Mike Flanagan had a really hard job of being like, don't worry about it, King. I got this. I've got you. Like, sit down, my man. But he did it beautifully. He was able to really mix in the bits that everyone loves from the film, all the iconic bits from the film, in with, obviously, the material of the Doctor Sleep book and bringing back material from The Shining. So, again, another spoiler alert if you've not read the book. At the end of The Shining book, the Overlook burns down. It's not there. Gone. Yeah. Kaput. And in the Doctor Sleep book, basically, he takes Abra back to have the big, like, face-off with Rose on the grounds of it. And it's like, that's a bit shit. Whereas Mick Flanagan was like, no, I got you, boo. And, like, even if you're not a big fan of the Doctor Sleep movie, the last 40 minutes is worth it. Like, the last 40 minutes is just all callbacks and all just, look at how fucked the hotel is now. And even when Danny and Abra are standing on the stairs and Rose walks in and the chair's still toppled over and there's still the manuscript there and there's still the bit of paper, you're like, chef's kiss, Flanagan.
Aye.
To be honest, I've not watched a bad Mike Flanagan project yet, apart from the Teeny Bopper one, but that wasn't for us. Do you know what I mean? That's, we've had enough Flanagan content. The Teeny Bopper one was for the Teeny Boppers. Like,
yeah, just couldn't get it.
He's not had a miss. And I don't, that's another reason why I'm like, why the fuck did we doubt this movie? It's Flanagan, do you know what I mean?
So I guess we'll need to just get into the documentary.
This
obsession that Kubrick never makes any mistake. I don't hear about any other director getting this treatment.
No.
Other than Kubrick, and I don't understand why.
I don't know if it's because you and me aren't Kubrick fans. Not that we're not Kubrick fans, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't really be arsed with them, to be honest.
But it's just really The Shining. Like, all the other ones, they don't.
No, they do. Like, they do it about, I've not seen Full Metal Jacket. You said it's very good. But there's supposed to be all these bits in Full Metal Jacket where it's like a helmet is put, like, a certain way to show this. I mean, it's like, did he or did the costume person just fuck up? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't understand this, that, oh, this thing got moved. Is it? Yeah, it's a mistake. Like, every movie has mistakes. Like, you can't, I think,
Is it a mistake?
To do something that long and, like, do it every day that you have to reset it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So there's, like, a bit in The Shining where he's got the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs above him, and in one part when Danny's talking, Dopey's there, and the next bit, Dopey's not there. Now, the documentary has taken that as a, Danny's awake. Danny's Shining is awake. He's no longer Dopey. And it's like, or somebody just, it fell. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, nobody knows.
It's a mistake. That and this, like, the big ones, the hotel, the way they lay out, that window shouldn't be there. Is it? Yeah, they've just made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not been thought through. Or it's
been or
thought,
has
but,
it?
No, but it's just, like, it's just been a detail that's been passed by. And rather than sitting there, said, right, we've got the footage now. That, right, we need to go back. He was already so, like,
over
behind on
this,
over budget. I really want to say, I don't care.
He said, Kubrick said it was going to take, I think it was something daft, like 12 weeks to make The Shining, took over a year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Spielberg?
Yeah. I can't remember what film it was, but it was Spielberg. Like,
I think it was
like
Indiana Jones or something.
My God.
It held up was it in London, the Pinewood Studios?
Not Pinewood, the other one. It is Pinewood. No, you're right. Absolutely. I was wrong. My apologies.
I was maybe there 20 days. 50 days or something.
Fucking ridiculous.
Held up everybody.
Absolutely ridiculous. I think as well, like, the documentary is very... Now, there is nothing I love more than going in depth with things. I love a metaphor. I love it. Like, I'll sit there and be like, oh, do you know this means this? And I don't believe it myself, but I'm here for it. But the documentary really put me off, man. I was like, I'm never analysing a movie ever again. Like, these people are cracked. Like, I mean, do what you want. Do what gets through your day.
Yeah.
But to the point of where, like, the cans of soup that's got, like, the Indian heads on it.
Aye.
It's like, at the start of the movie, it's facing right. And they were basically the starter faces one way, and they were trying to say this is like the prayer of the Native American. And then at the end of the movie, it's facing left, and it's like, oh, that's because they've been papped, whatever.
It goes on about like the genocide, not is it?
Yeah. And
I
was like,
Stanley Kubrick.
Aye, Stanley Kubrick,
no, right? Fuck off.
That's his bra.
Aye, he finished it for him. Aye. But I don't think Big Steve really, like, why would he? it would never have finished the film if all this was true.
Phone him up now. Oh no, I was going to say phone him up. That's what he's dead. Sorry, poor man. Poor man, Kubrick.
Sorry, Stevie.
Sorry, Stevie. But like, we'll talk a bit more about Doctor Sleep, because I do feel like we've kind of hogged a bit more of The Shining. I feel like Doctor Sleep as well, I always forget how good Ewan McGregor is until we get to Ewan McGregor. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to run to the cinema to see a Ewan McGregor movie, but when I watch Ewan McGregor, I'm like, you're fucking good. Why do I never give you the time of day?
What I like about Doctor Sleep is that it just continues more the lore and the story.
Yep.
Like, obviously Danny went through all the trauma and that, what happened to him, and he's still dealing with it as an adult, and it shows his progression.
Basically following in his dad's footsteps until somebody steps in.
An alcoholic and he's fucked things up, he's done bad stuff.
Yep.
But that, and I like how it goes on more about, like, The Shining itself.
Yeah.
Like, the powers and that, because obviously you see bits of it and the original.
Yeah.
Like, the original and the Shining. Yeah. But, like, this goes at Emma's, and you have, like, the true knot and that, and how they live.
The true knot are so interesting. Like, I know they don't really have a lot of time to go into, like, the full lore of the true knot. Like, obviously, there's bits where, obviously, when Grandpa Flick is cycling out, she's like, oh, you were at the Colosseum in Rome, you travelled the worlds and stuff. And more in the book, it's very, like, they've been here since, like, the fucking dawn of time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think in the book, there's one that was, like, I can't remember if it's Grandpa Flick or it's the other one. It's like, oh yeah, he was there when, like, Jesus was crucified. And it's like, eh? Like, the True Knot are, like, such a good villain group. And Rebecca Ferguson as Rose the Hat is just sensational.
Oh, fantastic,
As soon as the movie starts, you're like, yep, bad guys, perfect. Uh-huh. And she's so good. She's so... I love her in anything, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's great in everything. But she's so menacing and yet, like, endearing. Do you know what I mean? I love her. 40 out of 10 for Rebecca Ferguson. The baseball boy scene, say that 10 times fast, is so nasty. Like, every time you watch, it's not one of those ones, like, do you know when you watch something first time and the initial shock and then you're like, oh, okay, if you watch it again?
Yeah, yeah.
This just gets worse every time you watch it.
Oh, God,
it's so, and do you know the way it's like, if you didn't know they were evil before, they're fucking evil now, do you know what I mean? And I also think Stephen King, he loves to, like, abuse kids. He loves it. Does he like his own kids? Like, are his kids okay? Like, somebody phone them up. I also think as well, you said it when we were watching it, and I was pissing myself, and it has to be included. The cycling out sequences in Doctor Sleep with, like, Grandpa Flick and that, just a hangover in your 30s. Like, that's just you lying on the couch like, oh, why?
Yeah, the one thing I've got about the true knot is, do they go about, oh, you can live long and good? Is it?
Eat well, live long.
Like, why?
What do you mean?
Like, why? Like, all they're doing now is
scrounging.
Steam. Is it, why you go to all that effort if all you're going to do is to live longer as Unity? You're not really living at this stage.
Yeah, well, that's what they kind of say when she's on, like, the watchtower bit. The crow says to her,
like, we're not eating good.
Yeah, he's like, the steam isn't as strong as it used to be. If it's TV, if it's medication, blah, blah, blah. And they even say things like, oh, we better get to her quick before they put her on meds and stuff. And I think it's showing, like, obviously, back in the day when these things weren't, like, when kids weren't on TV all the time and when they weren't, like, on all this stuff, it's like, oh, everything was, like, not better. But, I mean, like, these things were more easily for them to get. Like, there wasn't any blockers, whereas now it's like, oh, the kids don't really give a fuck.
What would be the point in living like that? Just so you can keep doing it for longer?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think at this point, to be honest, the true knot have been around for that long. They're like, well, what the fuck else are we going to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, just... Because there's in the book, they're kind of described as, like, the caravan holiday that you always get stuck behind. Yeah. Like, they're just always this big bunch of weirdo tourists. And they seem really innocent and plodding along, but in fact, they're fucking monsters. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's one of those things, though, like, they are just... I've never really felt that in depth, Ross. I'm really trying to think on my feet here.
I know, but it's like, if somebody said to you, is it, right, you can...
Eat well, live long.
Oh, but you can live long, but you're going to keep doing this, and this. I'm like, what's the point then?
I mean, depends how much you really want immortality. See me? Shuffle me off. I don't give a fuck.
But it's hardly a life. Like yeah. when people say, oh, you can go in the future and do this, is it?
Why?
We're still need to work in that though. What's the point? Like, so you're just going to leave everybody behind.
Yeah, yeah, go, yeah.
Start a new job. Like 500 years in the future.
Like what would the Tesco's look like in the future?
Aye, like what would the point be? Do you know what I mean?
Phone them up and ask.
That makes no sense to me. Just I get like that is a cool like villain group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like there's cool characters in it, like Barry the Chunk.
Yeah.
We'll call him that now.
Yeah. Aye, please don't say the name he has in the book. We will get done so fast.
But is it if like then they take the wee lasses at Snakebite Andy?
Snakebite Andy, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is it, oh, you can do this? And is it, but you're going to be starving.
Aye.
And you're just going to need to keep joining us to try and feed.
Yeah, basically, you're coming with us, and all you're going to do is just batter weights. that's all you're going
to
do.
They're no different than just normal people having to fucking walk away to get food.
Yeah, like, except
you ain't shit.
Like,
you ain't special, you ain't shit, man.
Yeah, except we just make money. Aye. You guys are murdering people.
I feel like the villains weren't thought out that way.
Aye, on you go. Tell Stephen King that.
Ah, fuck him.
Have you got anything else to try to dive into your favourite scenes?
Well, I've just got how... I keep saying Stephen King.
Stanley Kubrick?
No.
No?
Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan. It's a bingo at this point.
How he managed to recreate, like, the Overlook and... Like, obviously, you have the scene where I'm being interviewed, like like Jack did in the first one. Is it, like, it just shows, like, bringing it up again, is it how cool the fucking Overlook is?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, it's so, like, and even if you haven't seen any of this stuff, is it, you know what it is, and is it, this is fantastic.
I've actually got some bits about how he did it, and useless information, but do you want me to fire into it now?
No, we'll go through a favourite scene first. And then both of them.
Okay, just because I don't want to, like, say it now, and then later on I'm like, oh, I have no useless information, even though I think I've got too fucking much useless information. Dive into favourite scene then?
Aye, go for it.
Okay, so what's your... Do you have a favourite scene in both, or have you just got, like, a combined, or how have you done this?
Well, for The Shining, I've got... See when she first comes in, when he's writing, and if I'm typing, you can't... Yeah. Like, don't come in.
You're distracting me!
I like that one.
Yeah,
and the international version, we'll call it, that's when you just start seeing the, like, I'm tweaking a wee bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in the US
starting
one...
starting to get perplexed.
In the US one, it's kind of different, but in the UK, it's like, oh, that's... Like, yeah, he's fucked. He's fucked to hear a belter.
I'm with you. I couldn't decide my favourite scene of The Shining. It's the whole fucking movie, but, like, I love the Jack taking a drink with Lloyd, the bartender.
Yeah.
I love that bit. It's so good. But I also love how that is mirrored in Doctor Sleep, where Danny kind of uses that as, like, his, I don't know if you want to call it closure talk, but, like, when he's talking to his dad and being like, what the fuck happened to us because of you mental bastard, do you know what I mean?
It's important in both of them, because in that one, in The Shining, like, in the, is it Gold Ballroom it's called?
Yes.
And it's like, that is it, I can sell my soul for
sell
a drink.
That's
when the hotel's like, fucking Golden Boys.
Aye.
Like, get that man a bumping.
Rally up, boys, we're on it. Like,
then, as you say, in Doctor Sleep, it's, because that's probably my favourite scene in
Doctor Sleep,
aye. Mm-hmm. Like that, and it's the quote, is it, man takes a drink takes a drink, then a drink takes
a man.
It's pretty cool.
A skill, like, suck,
and
yeah.
That, and shout out to thingy who's playing Jack Torrance.
Elliot from E.T.
Aye.
Henry something, Henry Thomas, is that his name in real life?
I can't remember now.
We'll Elliot Feetey.
And every Mike Flanagan thing. Though.
Yeah. Honestly, you just need to make pals with Mike Flanagan. You are never going to be unemployed ever again.
He's got the group that he works with.
And they're in everything, 100%.
Aye. And they're good. It's still...
There's not one bad one. Aye. Yeah, totally. I think between that, and also I had the... I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to bash your brains in. Like, that bit is so good. But also, whenever I watch it now, I can only hear Homer Simpson in my head being like, Marge, give me the bed. Give me the bed. Bed, boo, give me the bed. So, Dr. Sleep, genuinely for me, it's any scene with Rose the Hat. I just think Rose the Hat is absolutely class. But I didn't know if this was a cop-out, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't just the last 40 minutes. But then... I feel like it's like, just watch The Shining, Lauren. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like as soon as it gets to Ewan McGregor and Abra being like, I need to wake her up, I'm like, yes, let's go! Like, from the top, boys!
That's one of the bits that I feel that if they'd done it through the book, like, imagine Stephen King fought for it. Is it this is the ground it was on? And is it, it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I don't
like,
care.
The ending would have been, no, it'd have been bad, because it's still been a good movie, but it wouldn't have had that, like the fucking gravitas that it had.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You're like, you don't know where you're standing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what, like, where you are.
Check yourself, girl. But I think as well, so in the book of The Shining and obviously in the miniseries, there's huge emphasis on the boiler and that Jack Torrance has to drain the boiler or the fucking hotel is going to blow up, basically. And on the day that Jack Torrance is, like, proper possessed, that's the day that he forgets to dump the boiler, and that's basically the hotel blows up. And obviously that didn't happen in the Kubrick version, thank Christ. And I think in Doctor Sleep, in that last bit, that's where it combines the two of them perfectly, do you know what I mean? Because you're still getting all the good bits, but you're getting the, you didn't check the boiler, and you're like, fuck, and then the hotel does burn down. So King gets his way in the end, do you know what I mean? But
yeah, that must have been one of the...
pure satisfying as fuck.
It's doing that. It must have been one of the things, is that, no, this hotel has to burn down.
Yeah.
I imagine that would have been a stipulation for that we make
absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, absolutely. What about you and Dr. Sleep? Just the... Lloyd the bartender.
Lloyd the bartender, say now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also love as well, this is like an honourable mention I want to say, is see the bit in the supermarket when Abra sends her flying. Mm-hmm. I know that's like such a small scene. I just think it's class. Just think it's great. Just love it. Everything. Right, will I dive into useless information?
Aye, go for it.
Go and get yourself a cup of tea, Ross. I'm going to be here for a while.
Fucking so, better now.
What did we say at the start? This is not going to be a four-hour fucking podcast. So, Stephen King got the idea to write The Shining after being the last person to check out of a hotel. And then, obviously, that set the cogs burning of like, He was also prime alcohol addiction. And also, we all know Stephen King's drug addiction history. But at this point, he was really in the trenches with the alcohol. So that obviously kind of spurred on. And then it was in a later interview, Stephen King said that Danny was one of the few characters that he's ever written about that's really stayed with him. And he would just like sit sometimes and think about, I wonder what Danny would be like now. And that's obviously what spurred him on to write Doctor Sleep. So thank you, Mr. King. I'm not going to go too in-depth on The Shining useless information because it's everywhere and I'm going to just tell you the same...
Nothing new is going to come
exactly. Like, I'm just going to tell you the same 40 things you already know.
You hear about all the famous ones that... Like, you have it on YouTube because the film... Was it his daughter?
Yeah, his daughter did the documentary.
Or his wife, was it? Whoever it was.
No, it was his daughter. His daughter filmed the documentary of the behind-the-scenes
stuff. There's a mountain of stuff out there already.
Like all the doors that get burst and I've picked like some of my favourite like Shining thingies that I think is cool. So the opening shot of The Shining was then used in the original cut of Blade Runner. So that's when Deckard is like driving away in the car and that's The Shining. And I remember like... we did media studies in school and our teacher was obsessed with Blade Runner. I remember watching that and I was like in the back of the class like, that's The fucking Shining. Also, what I love, and there's videos of it on YouTube, definitely look it up, it's totally worth a watch. When they were filming The Shining, Kubrick worked really, really hard to make sure that Danny Lloyd, who played Wee Danny, would think that the movie was a comedy. So there's like clips of Kubrick running about being like, tag you it, and then Danny runs like fuck and somebody's running behind him with the camera and Kubrick's like, oh, I'm coming to get you and all that kind of stuff. And it's like you hear Danny like pure laughing as he's running away, cut to how it's edited with the music over it and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And all that, and it's like there's bits where it's like, play hide and seek, right, I need you to go and hide in there. And there'll be like wee camera guys being like, quick, he's coming, jump in there. And that's how they would get all this stuff. And I just think that's so mad, but like great. Do you know what I mean? Because you hear about the treatment that Linda Blair went through when they were making The Exorcist. It's like some directors just did not give a fuck. They were like, you're getting traumatized, mate.
More interesting than just making a movie.
Exactly. Whereas, like, I think the fact that now, obviously, it's infamous on how Kubrick treated Shelley Duvall. And I do think it's really interesting.
Ridiculous.
He, like, abused her, man. And I do feel like it's really interesting how Shelley Duvall was treated like a piece of shit on the movie and she was degraded every day. Oh, God, say that. Degraded. Thank you. Oh, my God. Degraded. But I do think she was degraded every day on set, and they were basically like just screaming at her all the time. She smoked about 100 fags a day, and then to be like with wee Danny, like, right, Mon, let's go play a game, let's go. Do you know what I mean? I think, there you go. We already kind of touched on the US stuff, so I'll jump on to some Dr. Sleep facts, which I think are kind of cool. So Mike Flanagan went to the Kubrick estate and asked for the original blueprints of the Overlook Hotel to basically recreate all the sets. And he spent months purely just on making the sets, making sure they were perfect. Yeah. So even the scene in Dr. Sleep where they're in Ullman's office, but it's like the Bruce Greenwood character.
Yeah, yeah.
Down to the placement of the pens, if you put side to side, they're the exact same, even down to like the minuscule things of like where the flag is and shit. Do you know what I mean? Also, in the first scene where Azzy the cat in the hospital goes to the first patient, Danny's reading the 1978 Playgirl magazine, which is the magazine that Jack was reading in The Shining before his interview with Ullman, which I thought was kind of cool. So while making the movie, Flanagan had to go into heavy negotiations with King because Stephen King didn't want the original Overlook featured at all. Like, he hated Kubrick's version, and also, obviously, it burns down. So he didn't want anything. He basically just wanted Flanagan to make a whole new thing, a whole new Overlook.
You couldn't do that.
I know. Like, and Flanagan basically, it was weeks of negotiations, basically, of being like, listen, I'm giving you this, I need you to give me this. Because Flanagan was basically saying that due to audiences being so familiar with The Overlook and this being such an iconic movie,
people remember the plot of the movie than the differences in the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like, King finally kind of gave in, let him add his things, as long as he was more faithful to the Dr. Sleep book, which he really is, and he really, it must have been a fucking job that Flanagan had on trying to juggle the source material, trying to make the movie that the writer of the book didn't love but everyone else loves, and the book that the writer loves that everyone was like, I don't know about. And he did it perfectly. And then after seeing the movie, Stephen King said, and I quote, "Everything I disdained about the Kubrick version was redeemed for me in Dr. Sleep. Mike Flanagan is a genius." And you are correct, sir. You are correct.
That's good appraise you're going to get.
Totally, totally. Ewan McGregor isn't a horror fan and had never watched The Shining before filming Dr. Sleep. I was like, McGregor.
An actor.
Fucking
move. Strange, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? And then, last one. The original Danny is one of the AA members in Dr. Sleep.
Ah, okay.
He's
that's
never
cool.
been in anything else since The Shining, but he came back for
a wonder
cameo.
Why he didn't.
Probably never asked. Probably was like, oh, I had fun. And then went to like another set and was like, they know why I play Tig with me, I'm away.
You're in the fucking Shining. Like,
it was apparently it was like years later. Like, he didn't know he was in a horror movie until he was like 17. He was like, what the fuck is this?
Fair enough.
So, do you want to move on to E?
The only one I've got for The Shine, I think, was how did a hotel stay open for 6 months and like make money?
What, like, only open for 6 months? Well, they say it's a skiing thing, don't they?
No. Remember in the US version, oh, I'm surprised you don't open for winter for the skiing. And is it, nah? Like, we weren't, like, was it really popular, is it? But you could change your rules now.
Aye, 100%. And also, I'm not being funny.
How much is that hotel?
What's
that hotel charge? Well, a fucking fortune.
Aye, if it's only open for 6 months. Yeah, true. Do you know what? I never thought about that. I was just like, oh, okay, like, the hotel shut. I've never thought about it.
Nothing. Like, 6 months go by, right? You're at a job for 6 months. Obviously, you'll need to go find other work.
Well, so, in the book, basically, Dick Halloran is in The Shining for 6 months and then goes down to He's in the Overlook for 6 months. And then he goes down to Maine to work with his pal in the Black Spot, which is in the It book.
Right, okay.
And then when that burns down, spoiler for the It book, he goes and works in Florida for 6 months, so he's just kind of bouncing between the two.
Oh, fair enough.
So that's like a wee bit of that. But I was the same as you. I didn't really have a lot of A's. Like, it's all just like, I don't know if they're A's or just it was the 70s. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
I do have a small one. I know we went into the documentary of 237, but it's just mad, like, when you watch all the stuff and it's like, obviously there's all the thing with like the Apollo, is this Kubrick admitting he filmed the moon landing and all this kind of shit. I'm just like, go off, King, whatever you want. Yeah, there's like so many things that like people really cling to that are like an eh, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, it's not that deep.
And while we're on that subject of people clinging to things that aren't fucking true, right? I'm saying it right here, right? So there's this theory, I can't remember if it was in the documentary or not, but it is out there, that Danny was sexually abused by Jack. I'm telling you right fucking now, as someone who has seen the movie, the miniseries, and read both the books, lies. Liza Minnelli, lies. Never happened. Jack physically abuses his kid, which is also not great, but Danny is never touched. But I think there is obviously the thing in the Stephen King shared universe, the multiverse, whatever the fuck you want to call it, that The Shining does happen to people who are, like, traumatized. So, like, there's the thing of, like, the kids in It kind of shine, but it's never called The Shining.
Yeah, yeah.
There's things in, like, other ones. And obviously Dick Halloran has The Shining, and he was touched by his granda in the book.
Aye.
But nothing about Danny is ever said. Jack has never done that. Jack is just an arsehole that barters his way.
Yeah.
And that's so bad, but he does not touch his kids. And I will die on this hill. The amount of things I've seen, I'm like, no, Danny Hatton, Liza Minnelli. And that's all I have to say on that.
Oh, fair enough.
Sorry, that was really, I was really railed up there, man. I fucking hate that shit. So this is another one that I don't know if this is an eh or it was the 70s, and you can tell me. When Wendy is talking to the doctor and she's telling the story about how Jack broke Danny's arm, no reaction. No reaction from the doctor at all. Like, you're just being told that her husband broke her kid's, or dislocated her kid's shoulder, and you're just going to sit there and be like, okay, have a good one.
Like, what can she do?
It was the 70s. Also, when Wendy tells Jack about the crazy lady who strangles Danny in room 237, he goes up to investigate, and then immediately, because it is a naked woman, he's like, I need bother.
He was half canned, I know.
I was still butcher. I mean, I'd be like, I don't care how good looking you are, you've just strangled my wind. Let's have this out.
I mean, he's gone mental at the time. The hotel's taking him over.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Like, she just tried to kill your wind, and you're not going to be like, hold the nookie for 2 seconds. Yeah, what are you doing?
What part of the hotel's taking him over are you not getting here?
Okay, fine. I also think in Doctor Sleep, God, I do have quite a few. Sorry about that. See, to be honest, some of these I'm clutching, do you know what I mean? Because I think these movies are perfect. In Doctor Sleep, everyone reacts really well to, like, Danny's shine. Like, when he tells the doctor, oh, the watch is up there, and then when he says to Billy, oh, I need you to listen to this and I need you to believe me, everyone's so chill about it. They're so calm. Like, could you imagine one of your pals coming and being like, Ross, I need to tell you something.
Tell him fuck off.
Do you know what I mean? I also think as well, so this is my last A, this is my last one. So Rose the Hat, when she's in Abra's head, basically gets her hand degloved, right? Like, she is fucked up after going in Abra's head. And yet takes those slashes to the back of the knee like a champ when she's in Danny's mind. So I'm like, is it just because Abra is, like, super powerful that she can physically harm you? And is it because, obviously, she says, like, Danny's steam is, like, older and greasier, it doesn't have the power that it does, but then when she's sucking the steam out of him, she's like, all this power and you're so grown up, do you know what I mean? So I had a question there.
What is your idea?
That obviously when she's in Abra's head she gets degloved, and when she's in Danny's head she gets chips to the back of the knees, but then is, like, walking about pure fine when they get back to real life out the heat, and there's, like, not a mark on her, and then she's like,
you don't see her knees though.
I was fucking looking. There is not a bit of ripped jean. There is not a bit of blood at the back of her knees. Because it goes to the back of her when she's doing that, like, oh, I'm on. No, so being, I looked at this. I was in debt.
Calm down, right? It's screaming like an adept man. So you're saying being degloved.
Uh-huh. From being in someone's head.
Right.
Which then, when she falls back.
Degloved, getting cut in the knees wouldn't have been that painful.
Yeah, but, like, when she shut up, Ross.
She fucking lost all the skin.
But that's what I'm saying. She loses the skin of her hand in Abra's heat, and then when she gets chucked back onto her place in the watchtower, her hand is fucked. Like, you can see the skin on the hand.
That would be far more painful.
Yeah.
If you could take that, getting chipped in the knee, you're like, you know what?
You're not even listening to the words coming out of my mouth.
I am.
Right. But then when Abra's running about in Danny's mind, slashing her knees, and her knees are all cut up the back, like when it goes back to in the bit, there's nothing on her knees.
Another thing you might be missing is because she's took all the steam as well.
Okay.
Because even a bit with the axe and all that, like
yeah,
she
you're
just,
right.
Obviously she took
takes
it at the
out
shoulder,
that champ. Aye, I know you're right.
I think she's just that hopped up and steamed.
Just steamed at her tits. Aye, you know, fair play. Because that's how I was thinking. Like obviously, because she says like, "Oh, Jack, I can see not Jack, Danny, I can see like the grease all over you. Yeah. Like your shine's not where it is." I was like, "Oh, is it because his mind isn't as like powerful as Abra's?"
Yeah, yeah. No, I get you. I think it's just the steam. She's that hopped up on it, and because she took them all, didn't she?
Yeah.
Is it
tanned a lot?
Probably not feeling a thing.
Tanned the lot. Fine. Fine, I'll go fuck myself then.
Have
you got anything else? Any other ace?
No, the only one, but I think about it, it's probably not. Is
no,
it?
No.
How did the True Knot not know about the Overlook? Like, not know about Danny before? Because it shows you.
But that's what she says. She says in the movie, how did we not know about you sooner?
Again, is it shows you the missing poster of the wee lassie?
Yes.
And I know he said they don't shine, but...
Yeah, he says to Halloran, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to shine anymore.
That was after the wee lassie went missing. But you would think all the events of what happened in the Overlook... Because remember, she said that the more powerful like Stenov was it 1,500 miles?
Yeah,
they would have noticed her, but you don't know what they were doing at the time.
Yeah,
you can't really...
I'll phone them up, right? I'll reread the Dr. Well, Sleep book now you've asked me this.
It doesn't really explain it in the movie. It's just like, oh... How did we all find you? And is it? How did you know?
Tell me, how did you know?
He was meant to be this.
He was meant to be Abra before Abra was Abra, yeah.
Well, he didn't really know, but it's kind of that with Overlook, they said it amplified his shine, so how did they not see him?
Yeah, it said it
like,
lit it up.
Anyway. Like
the, aye. Yeah.
Is that 1,000 batteries or something?
Go for it.
How did they not pick up on it?
I will reread Dr. Sleep and I'll let you know. And then if anyone does this cares, I'll let
movie.
Them know
too. It could just be the movie's just all we need a line here.
Tattled, aye, going for it. So normally we have best kill, worst kill, but obviously there's only really a couple of deaths. So we've done best ghost, worst ghost.
Yeah.
So who's your best ghost?
Probably Grady.
Grady? I had to correct her.
Aye.
I had the iconic dog suit ghost.
I've got it as my worst.
Oh, really? Right, aye. Okay. Oh, so that's your worst ghost? My worst ghost is the bathtub woman. But that's for like a whole other fucking reason. Like, that woman traumatised me.
Aye. Would that not make it the best ghost, though?
No, worst.
Because it's that scary?
No, bin. Absolute bin. See, when I was a kid, my gran had a green bathroom and I would literally go to the toilet before I went to my gran's and wait until I came home from my gran's. I would not step foot in her bathroom
because she had
a green bathroom. And then me and my mum and dad used to go on holiday up north quite a lot. And my dad, this is how, top class parenting, Drew, right? My dad showed me The Shining the day before me and my mum and dad were going on holiday up north, right? And we got there and I was like, obviously pure freaked out. I must have been about 9 or something, 8 or 9 when I watched The Shining, which I don't really know if that's too young, but whatever. And then we went up and the B&B that we were staying in had a green bathroom and my dad burst out laughing and I was like, no, dad, no. Like, had to keep like the light on and the door a wee bit open when I was going to tell her because I was like, no, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that woman, fucking terrifying. And then I thought I would be over it because I'd seen The Shining about a million times and then we went to see Dr. Sleep and I was like, no, no, the fear is still there. That woman haunts my nightmares. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Do you have a worst guy whose hairline's receding?
No, I think everybody's pretty good.
I had the bathtub woman purely for the childhood trauma.
I know, like, there's none of them you think, is it? No, you're at a place here, you're not good.
No. And, like, everyone's great. Like, everyone in The Shining's great. Everyone in Doctor Sleep's great.
Yeah.
There's not anyone that you're watching this and you're like, oh, you shouldn't be in this film. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the woman, his landlord.
Oh, she's in it for, like, 5 minutes, man.
I know, but she's a fucking arsehole.
How? She... Got to know wreck my house, no bother.
He knew, like, oh, he's got alcohol, which I don't care, 85 a week.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
See as well, right?
One guy recover.
See, this is an A that I've just thought of, right, off the back of what you've said, the landlord lady, right? Know how when Abra sees Baseball Boy getting murdered and she screams and it wrecks Danny's gaff as well? How did that wake no one up? Because he bounces straight off the bed, it cracks the wall, and everyone's like, oh, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, by that time he was kind of well-respected and that. I sure so probably, that. You've been good for 8 years.
Fucks up with him, man. do you have any discount versions of?
All the ghosts, like all the, when they played the old characters in Doctor Sleep.
Yeah, yeah, like Flanagan's Posse.
They are the discount versions of.
I wouldn't give discount version to Elliot for E.T., but he does it well enough, do you know what I mean? Like,
are discount versions.
Yeah, yeah,
like, no, it's exactly what the category is.
Fine.
It's lesser people playing these, like, iconic characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No lesser people, but...
I know what you mean. My dad always said that Christian Slater was, like, a discount version of Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought the Doctor...
He should have played Lloyd.
Oh, my God. I think Christian Slater's a bit past it.
I'm about the same age.
Really?
Who would have been? Aye.
Go for it. Aye, because you were saying you'd read that people were moaning that Jack Nicholson didn't have a cameo in Doctor Sleep, and it's like, have you seen Jack Nicholson now?
I wouldn't know what.
He old, fat, and fucked, and doesn't really give a... He doesn't care. He just is on his boat.
Aye. Living a good life. Guy's fucking nearly 90, surely.
He is one that I'm dreading that, like, the allegations come out against. Like, he's one that I'll be devastated.
Oh, they're probably already out.
No,
there.
I know, but I'm just not looking it up, which probably makes me a terrible feminist, but... I would honestly be devastated if, like, stuff came out about Jack Nicholson. I'd be absolutely devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I thought the Doctor treating Danny was like, she looks like a discount Ellen Burstyn. But then you were like, to me, you don't really see her that much in the international version. Like, I think...
No.
The US version that we watched, you really get in on her face.
Yeah.
Whereas the international version, it's just like, oh, your Wayne's a bit fucked. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they cut quite a lot of her.
So, if you, whatever version you're watching, look out for the Doctor. She looks like Ellen Burstyn.
Aye.
Do you have any I'm outs?
Not really.
I don't. The only thing that I'm a bit like.
I'm out. The only bit would be the fucking skeleton bit, but that's hardly.
But that's not even in it.
Yeah, it's hardly.
That's
long
in
enough
one
time.
Version. Yeah.
Aye.
I'm the same. Like, see, I don't have any I'm outs for The Shining. Like, inject that into my veins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Doctor Sleep, the only bit that I'm out of is when Danny and Abra, after they've, like, killed the crow and she's away and they're on their way to the Overlook, it's just, it's probably not even that long, do you know what I mean? But it just feels like they're driving for fucking ages before you get to the Overlook. But then I suppose you've just went through this crazy, like, everyone's dying, to then, like, quiet before it gets there.
Yeah,
and I understand it was supposed to build suspense, but I was like, oh, man, I'm done. Like, I'll make my lunch for the morning.
Yeah, just hurry up,
aye. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know the Overlook's coming, though.
And you're hyped and you're ready to go.
Bit,
yeah, yeah. Because I made you had to, like, elbow me when we saw Dad sleep in the cinema, because I was like, yes, the whole 40 minutes to the end.
Aye.
Well, guys, that's the end of our double feature. I feel a bit cheeky calling it a double feature because we've went into Everton, we've went into books, miniseries.
Yeah.
The
I
lot.
Think it's double feature still.
Perfect. Next week, we have been asked on Instagram to do more comedies, but you and me are really going to need to think about this because we think two completely different things are funny.
Yeah.
Like, we have very different tastes in comedy.
Uh-huh.
So, you might be waiting a couple of weeks for comedy, guys, because it'll just turn into a domestic between the two of us.
Oh,
like, that was shite. So, we'll see. We're not too sure what next week's episode will be. We'll probably put an Instagram poll out again. But give us a follow on Instagram if you want to get involved. And thank you so much for listening. And thanks for being super cool about us having a week off last week. See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Danny! Danny boy!
Danny boy!